through Colossians, the book of Colossians, and we're in Colossians 2. This is session 4, which will finish Colossians 2. It covers verses 20 through 23, and the title of this one is The Key. The Key. So let's read that passage starting with verse 20. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations and rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used. According to human precepts and teachings, these things are unimportant. They're unimportant as far as your salvation. So verse 23 says, these have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Here at the end of chapter 2, he reiterates and summarizes, you have what you need. Christ is in you. So why do you act as if this is untrue? You have died to the elemental spirits of the world, but you act as if you are still alive in the world. You are looking for deeper answers when simple faith in Christ is sufficient. Indeed, without simple childlike faith, you are not acceptable to him and cannot become a Christian. Let's try to dig into the meaning of verse 20. The verse says, you are dead in the spiritual sense. Obviously, you are still alive physically. Galatians 2:20 is most helpful to me here. I quoted it previously, but in case you missed, it goes like this. I am crucified or dead in Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live, yes, live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So if I died, what did I die to or unto? How does my death affect the way I live my physical life, which remains? Again, as in verse 8, we encounter the term elemental spirits of the world. And there seem to be two interpretations of this term. Please note, the term is not elementary spirits, which likely refers to human-level precepts and teachings. This view is followed in verse 21 with a list of legalistic do's and don'ts. Do not touch, do not eat, etc. An immature believer may think himself holy and righteous by following a list of rules, but he is not. These rules are man's idea of holiness, not God's. The other view of elemental principles is more likely the one intended. Elemental refers to the elements. These are aspects of nature which ancient man finds himself serving, are the stars, moon, planets, and often animals, etc., which he sees and experiences in his environment. The end result is the same for both views. Man is given a list of worship activities which he must perform and a list of those he must avoid. If all these are followed accurately, God will be pleased, right? Wrong. Worship is a matter of the heart, the inner man, regenerated to serve his God out of simple faith, motivated by love. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. For the Colossians, who are impressed by higher knowledge, that appears wise, but they come to know that the desires of the flesh have not changed. Indeed, in many cases, they have become stronger. They err that they try harder to obey, trusting in what they believe they are doing for God rather than by faith, trusting in what God is doing in them. In like manner, do we look for ways to act holy despite the sense of guilt of sin which remains? The Christian moralist bargains with God. He, in effect, says to God, I am sorry for these things I am doing. I know they are not in your will for me, but I'm going to do them anyway. Is it okay if I do some good deeds and give some extra time or money and perform certain religious rites? Won't these activities balance out my sin and make me acceptable? The answer is no. God desires a complete change and gives a new heart. He is Savior and Lord. We cannot negotiate with him and avoid lordship in some sinful areas we particularly cherish. He wants all of us. Bargaining with God is sinful in itself. His promise is to forgive us out of his righteous justice when we turn from sin, also called repentance, realize we cannot be holy and righteous of ourselves and trust Him to forgive and change us, then a truly new life begins in Him and through Him. So, Father, for those that are religious, maybe they're Christians, I'm in no position to judge. You're the judge. But they're bargaining with You. If I do a little sinful stuff over here, or I think about it, or I tippy-toe around the edge of it, and then I do a bunch of good stuff for You on Sunday or some other day of the week, doesn't that cancel that out? And that's man's way of thinking. It's not the way. It's not the way You conceive truth. It's not the way You conceive purity. It's not Christ in us living His life through us. And for those that think that way, I pray that they might ask forgiveness for that, turn from it, experience Your forgiveness, and grow in true faith and all the blessings that You bring through that life. I thank You in Jesus' name.